benefits through his connection with Krishna, by the mercy of Krishna, and therefore they may become interested in surrendering to Krishna also. You understand the logic that he's applying here? Yeah. He wants Krishna to be accepted by everyone, but he thinks everyone is not going to accept Krishna when they see what he and his brothers went through. Now, following the battle of Kurukshetra, Yudhisthira says, our grief has simply increased. All our enemies are dead. We have the kingdom, but our grief has simply increased. Because our respectable elders like Bhishma and Drona, they're all dead. Our beloved children like Abhimanyu and the five sons of Draupadi, they're all dead. So, our grief has just increased. Being deprived of their association is worse than dying. It would have been better if we'd died rather than win the kingdom. And on top of that, now Krishna has left us and he's living in Dwarka. We hardly see him. And as you can see here, we're trying to figure out some way to get him to come. So our position is very bad. And there is no mercy. From time to time, he'd carry messages for us or drive a chariot for us previously. But that was just to protect us, so that our religious principles wouldn't become compromised. So then Bhima speaks up. Now, interesting point. According to this description, it appears Bhima has a little more intimate connection with Krishna. It may be. It's definitely made clear with Arjuna, who is going to be the next one after Bhima, that he definitely has a more intimate connection with Krishna than Bhima, Arjuna. So Bhima, he was so close to Krishna that when he was listening to Narada Muni, he thought he could detect some faults in Narada's character, which he had picked up from having too much association with Krishna, particularly the fault of word jugglery. Yes, he knew Krishna very well. So he said that you are doing this now. You have spent too much time with Krishna. You have learnt word jugglery. And you are doing that now. He said, actually, Krishna is the guru of all clever deceivers and the original source of all illusion. This is Krishna. So don't have faith in any of the crafty things he may say. He has different motives. Sometimes he acts for his personal enjoyment. Sometimes he manufactures situations just for the sake of curiosity, to just see what will happen. Sometimes he makes things happen just to amuse himself. Sometimes he does things intentionally to bewilder his devotees. In any case, his motive is never simple affection. Never. There's always some ulterior motive behind whatever he does and whatever he says. The games he plays are not real even. So Arjuna then sighs and disagrees with Bhima a little. He says, no, actually Krishna has given us mercy. But that mercy has become the source of our sorrow. Yes. So he's not saying that it was just a pretense, like Bhima was saying, that Krishna is not really merciful to us, but sometimes, you know, for different reasons, maybe, you know, like with the gopis, he just wanted to see what happened to them when he went away from them or something. So Arjuna's saying, no, it's not really a pretense. There is some mercy, but the results are all wrong. The results are all wrong. So then he gives some examples. He says, I had to tolerate seeing Bhishma and others attack Krishna. Bhishma, he says, Bhishma and others, they became confused. They thought, he says, Bhishma thought that Krishna, he's the absolute truth. He won't feel any pain, so I can attack him. It's no problem. And this is because he's a mental speculator. He's more a jnani type. And then others, or Bhishma also and others, they thought that we are kshatriyas. We have to fight, even if it's with our own family members. Even if it's with Krishna, who's our family member. Because we're Kshatriyas, we have to fight with him. So Arjuna says that I had to tolerate seeing these confused people attack and cause pain to my Lord Krishna. And I had to see that because he mercifully said that his devotee never perishes and therefore he was willing to protect me. That was his mercy. Arjuna is agreeing. This was Krishna's mercy, that he was willing to protect his devotee. But he says, on the basis of that mercy, I had to tolerate seeing Krishna being attacked and being hurt, particularly by Bhishma. I had to see those arrows strike Krishna's body, and I had to see his body bleed. So it was his mercy, but the result was contrary. The result was suffering. Because Krishna's body is more dear to Arjuna than his own body. He would have rather just put himself in the way there and accepted those arrows. And Sanatana Goswami, he makes very interesting comment that the blood of Krishna was actually his perspiration. Not because he was tired, but perspiration as a symptom of ecstasy. This is what he says. Anyway, other people say other things too. So then Arjuna says that I had to try to convince Krishna not to fight. He promised to protect me. That was his mercy. But then I had to convince him not to fight. And
I had to physically try to restrain him. So again, in a similar context, but it's a slightly different example. His mercy became the source of my suffering. There's a famous picture of Krishna dragging Arjuna behind him. Arjuna is holding on to one of his legs, but Krishna is going towards Bhishma with the wheel of the chariot. So it's his mercy that is causing anxiety to Arjuna. That even though Krishna may have been trying to help, in other words, in terms of his own attitude, he may have been displaying an attitude of compassion and mercy. But if the actual activity causes pain to the dear one, then what is the compassion? What is the mercy? It is not really such. It's kind of misguided. Then he says that Krishna spoke these words to me before the Bhagavad Gita, before the battle. I thought he was going to tell me about devotional service, but he only spoke some dry speculation just to convince me to kill my elders. What sort of mercy was that? Anyway, the Sanatan Goswami explains that actually Arjuna here is getting a little carried away, because the Bhagavad Gita is full of instructions about devotional service. So it is mercy, actually. But as a result of hearing it, Arjuna went and killed his elders, which brought him sorrow. So all these things, Krishna is thinking, I'm being very compassionate. But what is the result? It comes out all wrong, that we end up suffering as a result of the so-called mercy. But then Arjuna says, still, he is the dearest person to me. There is no one like him. And I have full trust in him. And he gives four reasons. One, Krishna is unconditionally merciful. Two, he always fulfills his promises to his devotees, not to the non-devotees. There you never know. But to his devotees, he always fulfills his promises. And therefore, he is the most reliable friend and benefactor. That's the third point. And fourth, he is the original Supreme Lord, and he can do anything. So he is convinced of these qualities of Krishna. And therefore, when he thinks about all these wrong things that happened, it pains him very, very much. So Nakula and Sahadev, the youngest brothers, they then speak up. And they say that, as far as we're concerned, we don't think that when Krishna gave us strength when we were facing difficulty, or when he destroyed our enemies, or helped us perform that big sacrifice, or gave us this big kingdom, we don't think those were expressions of his mercy. Rather, the only time he was merciful to us was when he let us worship him first at the Rajasuya sacrifice. Yeah. But now he's gone, and we can't worship him any longer, as we did that time. So where is his mercy now? Yes. So you can see, they're very amazing devotees, actually. Have a meal. So Krishna, he accepted one scrap of little flake of vegetable somewhere in the pot. And they felt completely satisfied. So he saved Draupadi there. He saved her from Dushasana, who was trying to undress her. But now, her father, her brother, her sons, they're all dead. They all died in the battle. And she says she doesn't really lament for that. She accepts it as his will, but still she had been hoping that he might fulfill her desires further. Yeah, because at one time Krishna spoke to her very pleasingly and told her, don't worry, I'll see everything works out, but everything apparently didn't work out. And now he's gone away. So where is his mercy? Then Queen Kunti spoke. Oh, another thing, Yudhisthira mentioned right at the end, he said, if you want to see some people who have some mercy, who really have the mercy, go to Dwaraka and see the Yadus. That was Yudhisthira said that. So then Kunti, overwhelmed in separation, spoke in a very pitiful voice. She said that actually Krishna showed me a lot of mercy. This is interesting. A lot of mercy. He saved me. He quickly came to protect me and my sons from so many calamities. He intervened very quickly. This is even greater mercy than he gave Devaki. Because in her case, she had to stay in prison for years. She lost her sons. They were all killed except for Krishna, maybe Balaram. Otherwise, she lost all her sons. She had to suffer in Kamsa's hands for so long. So I got more mercy than her. But now, following the battle of Kurukshetra, everyone is dead. Everyone I knew is dead. All I hear, if I listen out the window, I hear women crying and lamenting. That's all. So, I would rather we go back to that dangerous time before the battle. Of course, there is a famous verse. Vipada santu ta shashvat tatra tatra jagat goro darshan, what is that? Something or other, darshanam yatsyad apunar bhava darshanam. Yeah. She's a very famous verse in the 8th chapter of the first canto. Queen Kunti is saying that, I wish those dangers would come again and again, because then I will see your lotus feet again. And I know that when I see your lotus feet, I don't have to see repeated birth and death. So Kunti is saying that, can't we just go back to that dangerous time? That would be better. And she said, he probably thinks that we're all right now. He probably thinks that he delivered us, and he got us situated in the right position, so we're fine now. So he's gone away. He thinks we don't need any more help. He's gone. And she says, I think, under the circumstances, he may never come back, because his family relationship with the Yadus is closer. Devaki is there. She is his mother. I'm just an aunt. The Pandavas, my sons, are just cousins. But he is there with his mother, with his wives, with his own children. Their relationship is closer, so I don't think I'm going to see him again. So I think now, Kunti says, I think now, if he wants to show some mercy on me now, let it just be in the form of a quick death. That's all. Now, you know, when we hear people say things like this, we might think, oh yes, a little hard to relate to, because I don't think we've ever felt like that. Well, I don't know, but it's very unusual that people get to feel like that. But the thing is, we should understand, Queen Kunti is not just saying it. She actually feels like that. That separation from Krishna is so painful, it's intolerable, that actually it would be better to die in all seriousness. So, she says, this fact that the Yadus are more intimately related on a family basis, this is breaking the last strand of my faith, that Krishna will come back, at least, that faith. So, both her then, and Yudhisthira, and they're the two most senior persons, they have advised Narada to go to Dwaraka. They haven't gone into great detail, haven't gone into any detail, really. They just said it, or said that he has special family relationship with him. So, Narada immediately takes off to Dwaraka, flies off and lands in Dwaraka. And sure enough, there he sees the Yadavas, the Yadus. Not Krishna. Krishna is there, but he doesn't see Krishna. He sees the Yadus, seated, waiting for Krishna to come in the Sudharma assembly hall. They're seated in order of superiority, very meticulously. It's a very beautiful scene with music and poetry and glorification. They're laughing and enjoying together. It's very nice. There were countless millions of them. Sanatana Goswami mentions that in the Bhagavatam it says that the Yadus employed 38,800,000 teachers for their children. In his commentary on that verse, Sridhar Swami says, this is a very conservative estimate. Anyway, the basic point is, there's an awful lot of them there, and they're waiting for Krishna to come. But Krishna is not coming. Anyway, that's another thing which we'll get to in due course of time. That's a big, big thing. Why Krishna has not come. But at this point, there are the Yadus, and they're all very happy and blissful, waiting for Krishna in the assembly hall. So they saw Narada. They ran to him. He threw himself on the ground before him. They picked him up, put him on a seat. He refused it. He insisted on sitting on the ground. They all sat on the ground with him. It was very nice. They brought paraphernalia to worship him. He took it from them and just bowed down to it and just sat there and started speaking. So he told them that you are the greatest recipients of the Lord's mercy, and asked, can I have your blessings to glorify you forever? You are more glorious than the residents of Vaikuntha even. Thus this earth planet has become the most glorious place. Narada Muni starts offering prayers to the earth planet, that this is the topmost of all abodes because these Yadus are here. Because of love for you, Krishna has forgotten Vaikuntha, and he's staying here. He's so deeply involved in his intimate relationships with you. He talks with you, sits with you, eats with you, sleeps with you, takes part in your marriage ceremonies. He follows you if you go walking somewhere. What an intimate connection. His connection to you is far more important than with any yogi who meditates or anyone else. And he acts with you in such ways to increase your devotion. So you've got no interest in material life, liberation. You've even forgotten your own families and possessions. And then he sees Maharaj Ugrasena, who was the king in Dwaraka. Sometimes devotees think that Krishna was the king in Dwaraka, but he wasn't. Ugrasena was. Krishna was a prince under Ugrasena. So Narada tells Ugrasena, you are the best, because Krishna comes before you like a humble servant and addresses you with reverence, asking you if you would mind considering a certain point when you make your judgment on some issue, and then offering obeisances to you and your relatives. So the Yadavas say that, how can a person as intelligent as you speak like some lowly person, glorifying people like us? But then they say, still, we know from what our Lord Krishna has told you, you are so elevated that what you say cannot be untrue. So it must be true that we have mercy from the Lord. But it's probably just a slight trace. Just a slight trace. Generally, he's more merciful to helpless people who require his protection. But then they said, they were presenting themselves as very fallen, unqualified. But then they said, actually, it is a fact, we have some mercy from Krishna. But amongst us, Uddhava has the most mercy. So now this is important. They explain now why Uddhava has the most mercy. What are the symptoms? Because he is Krishna's personal advisor. His advice and comments please Krishna. There's this story we mentioned earlier about the Rajasuya sacrifice. Two invitations arrived. Well, there was one invitation to the Rajasuya sacrifice from Yudhisthira. But then there was a message, an appeal from some princesses who had been kidnapped by, I think it was Narakasura. And they were appealing for the Lord to come and intervene and save them. So these two things, Krishna didn't want to turn down, to refuse his devotee, Maharaj Yudhisthira. And he didn't want to leave his devotees, the princesses, in the hands of this horrible demon. So what did he do? He asked Uddhava. He told Uddhava, I do not know what to do. Please instruct me. So Uddhava said, that this Rajasuya sacrifice means that Yudhisthira is being accepted as the supreme king of all kings, the emperor. Now, if there is this... Wait a minute, we're talking about Jarasandha, isn't it? I think both things, all these things happened around the same time. Anyway, if... Now, where are we here? Is it Jarasandha? Jarasandha. If this Jarasandha is still an independent king, and he does not accept Yudhisthira, then how can they have the Rajasuya?
Zits. Kubja. He knew it was going to be a sort of delicate situation, so he took Uddhava with him, just in case he needed some quick advice on the spot with this kind of unknown quantity, Kubja. Or in that dilemma of whether to fight with Jarasandha or go to the Rajasuya sacrifice. He even looks like Krishna. He is more beautiful than Pradyumna, who also looked like Krishna. Sometimes even we mistake him for Krishna. So he's got a lot of mercy. Therefore, he is the most dear of all devotees. He has the greatest mercy. You must speak to Uddhava. So Narada was just about to go deeper into the palace to find Uddhava when Ugrasena stopped him and said, you know, these things that you said about me, that the Lord comes before me very humbly and asks my permission to do things and things like that. He says, it's not like that. It's not like that. At least not like how Uddhava is close to him. It's not like that. He says, I have to beg to get the Lord's association, and still sometimes I can't get it, even though I'm the king. But Uddhava is always with him. And I have only one pleasure, that is carrying out his orders. That's all. If he ever offers respect to me, he's just cheating me, I know it. And it leaves me feeling cheated. But Uddhava is never cheated like this. He is always with Krishna. So then, Ugrasena, the chapter finishes with Ugrasena asking Narada, so you please go and meet Uddhava, and by the way, can you ask him to bring Krishna here? We've been waiting for hours, but the Lord has not come. Probably Uddhava is the only person who can bring him. So when you see Uddhava, ask him to bring the Lord, please. So that will take us into chapter 6, where things in Dwaraka really start to pick up. And chapter 7 continues in Dwaraka. Also, things reach very high levels of intensity. Any comments or questions? Question is that we have just mentioned how when different forms of the Lord appeared, different people they were involved with, and even particularly demons who they killed, didn't get liberation. But Krishna has given Lord Shiva and his wife like power of attorney to give liberation to people on his behalf specifically. So the question is there any difference? Oh, is there any difference between the liberation? No. There's no difference between the two types of liberation. They're both impersonal liberations. Sayuja Mukti. Yeah. But the thing is that Lord Shiva, he has the special service to give liberation given to him by Krishna. Yeah. So he is especially empowered. He's also a type of form of the Lord, in a certain sense, of a Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. But he is particularly empowered to give liberation. And the other forms of the Lord, they may not bother. It's not necessarily that they're not capable, but they may just not bother doing it. It's a good question. The question is that we've been hearing how all these different great devotees have all been saying they've got no mercy. Basically like that. But here in ISKCON, we are regularly talking about if something good happens or different things happen, how we got the mercy, and we're sort of encouraged to think like that. So what's the difference? The thing is that these great devotees, it's not that they always think that they never got any mercy. They also have their different sort of moods. Yeah, they definitely have their different moods. It's just like, you know, the Mahabhagavat. One characteristic is that they think they're the most fallen. So Srila Prabhupada, as the only Mahabhagavat, or at least, you know, at the very least, and perhaps the only, but at the very least, the supreme Mahabhagavat that any of us have had any direct experience with, that he would express himself like that, that he's a very fallen soul. There was one occasion I was reading about a little while ago. Prabhupada was with some devotees and they were glorifying him that you're so wonderful and like this. At the end, Prabhupada said, no, actually I'm all bad, but in your association I may become good. Yeah. So that's not different from what these great devotees have been saying. But at other times, Srila Prabhupada made it very clear that he was a Mahabhagavat and that he should be, people should see him like that and deal with him like that. So, you know, when these great devotees are placed in such a situation where they're glorified so much, then immediately their humility comes out, completely comes out. Yeah. And they'll express themselves like that. But at other times, when the Lord, for example, does intervene in their lives and does something, then it's not that they would think, ah, doesn't mean anything. It's not really so good. No, they'd be very appreciative, extremely appreciative. So, but this, all of them in these situations here, they're all being confronted by Narada in a certain way, which just brings out their humility completely. Yeah. But otherwise, you know, they would be regularly aware of the mercy of the Lord and like that. Well, that's also a good question. The Lord has given these devotees so much mercy in all cases, but they're saying he's given no mercy at all. The question is, could that be an offense? Like being ungrateful? Well, the answer is that in their cases it's not. It's not an offense. It's all part of their intimate connection with the Lord and their humility. But if we, you know, if we who are not on the same level start denying things which are mercy from the Lord and attributing them to other causes or saying that, you know, it's useless, the Lord is not helping us, then, you know, our attitude will become one of envy towards the Lord, that he never helps me. And then we'll think, well, who needs him? So I'm going to give him up. That's what will happen to us. But all these devotees, they're thinking like this,
and becoming more intensely focused on the Lord. Yeah. So for them, it's not definitely not an offense. Hare Krishna. So, see you on Monday for Chapter 6, getting a bit more thrilling.